Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, hello, rally friends, and a very warm welcome to Spin the Rally Pod. It's a post Rally Estonia edition, and this time it's just myself, Colin Clark, and our head of media, David Evans.
You almost forgot who I was. What are you going to learn that thing?
I'd like to be able to talk to you. So if you're just lying across there, I won't be able to see you.
There's so many amazing things about Rally Estonia. I've got to say, I'm really sad. Sunday night.
We can move them. They're movable.
I'm sure.
I can move it so
I'm
I can
sure
look at you.
We will be back. No, you don't need to move any closer. We will be back in Estonia, but we're not coming back next year. But we are looking forward to going to Latvia. That's very exciting. But I'm just sad. I love this place. I love this country. And I'm going to take a photo of Colin, and then we can, so you can see what we're lying on. They are, as I was saying, one of the good things about Estonia is that they look at design and all aspects of life in a very different way. And there's this, it's not a sofa, is it? It's an enormous pillow. I love it.
The design is wonderful because they're young, they're exciting, they're vibrant, they've got energy, Estonian people, and it's reflected in the architecture and design. Look at this table. I've been looking at this table for the last 10 minutes. It's beautiful.
I'll take a photo of the table.
It's absolutely beautiful.
So we were driving into town and Colin got unbelievably, waxed unbelievably lyrical about a railway bridge and two railway tunnels. Yeah. Which they were very nice. But anyway, we should move on to rallying.
Yeah, let's move on to rallying, David. Rally Estonia, as you mentioned, it may be, but fingers crossed, it isn't the last edition of Rally Estonia. It delivered, as it always does, you know.
What did it deliver?
It's a long list, David. It delivered in terms of organisation.
Ah, yeah.
It delivered in terms of planning, it delivered in terms of atmosphere, it delivered in terms of crowd control, it delivered in terms of how they look after the teams in the service park, it delivered in terms of the media centre. Do you want me to carry on?
It delivered in terms of sushi.
We had a great sushi restaurant. But, you know, most importantly, it gave us a spectacle from start to finish.
My only point of asking that was that I don't think we'll reflect on this as a tremendous sporting competition. But what you did, you primarily forgot to mention there, what it delivered was a spellbinding performance from Kelly Rovanperä, perhaps one of his absolute best.
I'd agree. You know, someone else has messaged me saying it was a bit disappointing, the competition, but you had a battle Saturday morning, for the lead.
Didn't.
It was a pseudo battle. It wasn't really a battle because Neville never really
engaged.
He never engaged. He was dancing a little bit. He was a bit like a boxer, and then he faces up to him.
He
starts dancing. No, he didn't even take one on the chin. He's dancing around and then thinking, "Nah, I don't want any of this," and disappeared off out the ring.
Jumped out the ring. In much the same way we would.
Yeah. We wouldn't even got into the ring.
No, we wouldn't. Absolutely.
But we had a battle for third, and from
second or third. It's not, you know.
All right, I agree with you.
It's not ideal. Like Formula One when they're focusing on the fight for 10th.
Yeah.
It's a bit dull.
It's not ideal.
Straws a wee bit there. But if you don't get a great competition, you get absolute dominance. And as long as Kelly doesn't go on and win 9 or 10 championships annoyed at Sebastian Loeb, and not suggesting that Sebastian Loeb's in any way boring. But there were times when it was like, oh, goodness me.
No, David, we're free to talk and express exactly how we want to. You know, Sebastian Loeb was never boring, but domination is boring.
Yeah.
You know, and domination over a long period of time that we saw from Citroën in the noughties, we then saw from
Volkswagen.
Ogier and Volkswagen.
Yeah.
You know, that is boring. There's no question about that, you know. Yeah. And it's great. It's great now that certainly for a while we had, you know, we had really open competition, and it was never certain. Remember 2017, we had what, 7 winners.
Yeah.
In 2017.
Yeah. No, that was mad. You know, and in fairness, this one delivered in terms of news. You know, you look back to Thursday, when all of that drama with Tanak unfolded, and it was, you know, it was catastrophic for M Sport. It was an absolute shocker. But the whole thing just built and built, and that added to the drama, and then suddenly, you know, you were up there, and then you were down there, and Friday, for me, was great competition.
It was. I'm struggling to take it seriously, David, with us lying on his
lounges. Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what they call these in Australia?
No.
Banana loungers.
Do they?
Yeah, you know what we would call just sun loungers. They call them banana loungers. Can we sit up now? Is that okay?
Yeah, let's sit up.
It's all a little entertaining. But yeah, you're right. What was the point you just made there?
The kind of news across Thursday, Friday, and then by Saturday, it was like... And then the story just shifted into that domination of another stage win, another stage win, another stage win. It was amazing. And I think that gets into the other drivers' heads that they don't expect to beat Calais then. And it's just an acceptance of where they are. And I think that kind of blunts the edge a little bit.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, I was fascinated by watching Robin Perrott and seeing whether he could win every stage. And just trying to work out how he was doing it. But you are right, you know, a lack of a battle for the win always detracts something from the event. But let's go right back to Thursday morning, because we had some very interesting questions sent in to us about the whole situation with the engine change, whether you know, M Sport had to change the engine, whether they knew 100% categorically that the engine that was in the car wasn't going to work, that it was going to fail. Was the 5-minute penalty right? Was it fair? Lots of questions still. Let me find this, David. Bear with me for just 1 second. I think you had the same message, didn't you? And it came from our friend Darren
Buckley.
Yeah, it came from Darren. And Darren asked quite a long question. Here we go. Tanak's issues this weekend. Should the team have
Sift
changed
through that
the
question
engine?
First and just be aware that there might be aspects that I can't answer.
No. Should the team have changed the engine? Absolutely. So that's the first. Should they have changed it?
Yeah. Well, of course they should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just explain why they should have changed it.
Why should they have changed it? Because it was broken.
What? Okay, so they knew it was broken after shakedown. Okay. Now, the thing is, with that engine, the other question from Darren was it a new or old engine? It was a brand new engine that was in the car on Thursday morning at shakedown. Yes. A brand spanking new engine.
Yeah, it was their second of two engines.
That's the question's done. That was all Darren wanted to know. We've answered that. So then the further question from that, and it's a question that we've debated over the course of the weekend, was the 5-minute penalty correct? Yes, it was.
100%.
You cannot argue.
No.
Because the rules are the rules, and you cannot go and complain about rules when they affect you after the fact.
No.
What you have to do is you have to look at it and say, okay, you know, was the situation ideal? Far from it. You know, the biggest draw on Rally Estonia, you know, we have 8 cars, let's face it, Rally 1 cars here. Do we want to lose a car? No. Was it a situation we could have avoided? Yes. Do the rules allow it? Not as they stand. Mm. So what does that mean? It means we have to go and look at the rules and say, you know, for the good of the sport, for the good of the sport, for the good of the competition, for the good of the spectacle that we want to put on, you know, we potentially have to legislate for these situations. Now, the issue you've got is once you start legislating, things get expensive and then things can be exploited. But you have to have then intelligent regulators who come up with sensible plans. And there is a way of avoiding what we saw on Thursday, David.
You're papering over the cracks.
Probably.
100%. 100%.
Probably. What is the crack?
I'm actually going to lie back now because
disinterested. This pushed me off. No, listen.
I'm going to tell you exactly why you're papering over the cracks. It's something this sport has done for years, and it started with Super Rally.
Yeah.
That papered over the cracks. Fundamentally, we need more manufacturers. If we had 7 manufacturers, we'd have potentially 21 drivers. We wouldn't
be
stressing over the fact that we've lost one driver.
Correct.
Oh, how do we keep one driver in the chair? Forget it. Get to the root cause of this, deliver value from the championship.
We're talking the same thing.
Because you're asking for regulation change.
To deliver value.
Yeah, but you're talking about regulation change. It's an absolute nonsense. Forget the 5-minute penalty.
Yeah.
Go all the way back and make sure you've got enough cars so that if one car has an engine failure, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but David, as it stands, manufacturers are looking at the championship. And you're so right. We have to deliver value. But they're looking... And they're saying, you guys are shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
you could, if Oik Tanak had been battling all weekend with Kalle Rovanperä, the media value of this event would have been enormous.
Yeah, but if the sport was delivering the value it should be, we could have had three Estonians fighting. We could have had a whole bunch of it.
Yeah, but you're the one that's now not looking at this in the correct way, because you're looking, saying should have, would have, could have.
No, look at the reality.
Yeah,
no, fine. Okay, the here and now, potentially, we need regulation change, which actually we don't.
We don't,
because you can't start fiddling with regulations. Fundamentally, build yourselves an engine that doesn't break.
Yes, I agree with that entirely. I totally
agree.
But
actually, as well, what we have found out is that it does very much look as though it was in the build process that the engine has failed. And I can give you a little bit of the chronology of that day if you want. Or we can save that for
the story. My argument. My counter-argument. Give me time to think about my counter-argument.
So, apparently, when the boys took the car to be... went to scrutineering. Yeah. So before, the fundamental point we have to make here is there is a whole series of checks and balances that M Sport put these cars through, regardless of its new engine. Every car that's built for a WRC round does, I think it's Chris Williams said, it's like 50 kilometres or something of shakedown running, of just constant speed running, of every aspect of the car is checked and double checked. That was gone through in exactly the same way for the sort of due diligence on that new engine was 100% perfect. It showed nothing. And, you know, you'd have to be monstrously naive or stupid to think that M Sport would risk anything. It's a brand new engine. It was working perfectly. They came here. They went through scrutineering. Not a bother. The boys got in the car to drive it down to get it weighed. On the way back, they thought it's a bit of a misfire. That was the first that showed. They checked the data, nothing. So they changed plugs, they changed everything, coil packs, everything that they could possibly change on that engine. Still, it was something was not right. At some point, they went to shakedown, and it wasn't right. Mm. They then had to make the choice. They had to then change the engine. I'm pretty sure they had engine one here, so they could have gone back, because that was you're allowed two engines per season, so they could have put Tanak's first engine that he's used up until now, they could have put that engine back in. But you then have to keep that engine in for the rest of the season. Yeah. And you still get a 5-minute penalty. Right. So the obvious thing to do is to put another brand new engine in that is then going to last you to the end of the season, and you suck up the 5 minutes. But, I mean, people have, you know, there's been some nonsense on social media saying, oh, this is M Sport cutting corners.
No.
Absolutely, you know, if I swore, I'd say it's absolute bollocks. You know, frankly, it is, because they've dropped the price, the cost of an engine, they've lost that. So they've then put a brand new engine in, a second new engine.
$125,000, $130,000 these
engines. I have no idea, but
huge,
you know, a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
And they have done every single thing that they could have done to get this right. And, you know, from what I've spoken to lots of people in the team, and you've got to say that actually Tanak took it really well, because he can see how hard everybody has worked.
And what he understands, David, is those checks and balances that you talk about, he understands they're all in place. The audit process is there for checking it through. And he understands that this is just one of those freak things that happens.
In rally. And he's seen, he would have been absolutely raging when this thing started to happen. But he would have seen. Yeah. He came out of there and people were on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, they were distraught. That team had worked solidly. They'd gone to Luna Esti Rally. They'd won that. They'd done their days of testing. They'd done everything. They'd rebuilt cars put you know, so much effort into everything, because this was their one.
Absolutely.
This was their boy at home. This was essentially their Rally GB.
Yep.
And to have it absolutely finished before it even gets started, it floored them as well.
But again, David, it goes back to my argument. We've shot ourselves in the foot as a championship. You know, I do understand there have to be rules and regulations around a sport like this, but I do think we also need to have potentially a little bit of flexibility. I'd hate to see this happening again. I really would.
But when did it happen last?
Well, exactly. It happens so rarely. So why can't you put in place something like a joker, you know, that allows you one change on the joker free of charge each year? Because it will very, very rarely
be. That is about the only part of your argument that I genuinely agree with. I think a joker. But then, you know, do you then get strategy being played with that joker?
But I think you've got to accept that. You've got to accept that. So if you, you know, it's there's your one joker a year. You can do it once per team, not per car, not per driver, once per team. And it avoids the situation. It's such a rare situation.
But
it avoids
from,
it.
From my side, I would still say that if you bring in that joker, then there is, it opens the door to strategy, opens the door to spending more money.
Yeah, it does.
And you know, there's a whole bunch of things that go on behind that they're playing within the rules, but they know they've got a certain number of engines, certain number of cars, and these things can be played with, and just, and you know, nobody breaks the rules.
No.
But they run to the absolute extremity of the rule.
And they interpret the rules, David. They interpret them.
And there is no interpretation with this, Carl.
No.
It's a 5-minute penalty.
That's why we're not disagreeing with the penalty. That's why we can't disagree with the penalty.
Does that not make it much more straightforward? It's black, it's white, move on. And yes, we can all sit here and cry about the fact that we didn't have a fight.
We're not looking for straightforwardness. We're not. We're genuinely not. We're looking at what's good for the sport, what's to the detriment of the sport. What happened was correct, but big time to the detriment of the sport.
It was.
And can we do anything to avoid that, David? That's fair and equitable. That's fair and equitable.
No, we can't. No, we can't, because
great brains like yours can't come up with a solution.
Yes, I'm giving you the solution.
No, it's not a good one.
Go to the room. How can having 5 manufacturers not be a good solution?
Well, no, that's it. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah,
but that's a whole different question.
It's a different question for a different.
But no, I can. There's an element that I'm being a bit antsy on a Sunday night and
Well, you didn't get much sleep last night, so I'm kind of forgiving you that. That was Darren Buckley's question.
How much sleep I had last night?
Well, you've told me many times already. Oh, I got up so early. Oh, and I've had no breakfast. This was at 12 o'clock when he went for
something. That was at 2 o'clock.
Oh, and I had to walk in because I couldn't work out how to book a taxi. And then he nearly fell asleep on the banana lounge.
And I might actually have fallen asleep now.
You nearly have. Let's.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Let's move on from that, because that really was the talking point on Thursday. From then on, the talking point was Robin Perra.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about his domination. You know, it's his favourite rally, David. He's made no bones of that fact. He lived here for, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
He does feel partly Estonian. He feels partly Estonian or not, I don't know. But, you know, he feels comfortable in Estonia.
Yeah.
And that was reflected in, really, the weekend he had. He was so relaxed. He was so much, you know, here to enjoy himself. The crowds loved him. We loved watching him.
It was
a tremendous performance.
It's partly I would say on this event, we've spent more time with the drivers before and after stages than probably any other event, simply because of the location of them that we could get around quite easily.
And because let's get a little bit of credit again for the organisers here. They built that into the itinerary.
Yeah.
The fact that we actually, you quite often, once at the start of the rally, we can always get them before the first stage. But then as the rally starts to spread out, you know, you rarely get the drivers bunched up between stages. Just about on every stage, they were all grouped together and we had the chance. And that's because the organisers allowed them a bit more time, allowed them that time to you know, just to relax a little between stages and not be so frantic between stages.
Yeah.
But Dave, can I put my hand up to something?
What?
I was a bit frantic between the stages this morning.
Really?
It was most unfortunate. It was an unfortunate situation. So we've come past the stage end. And as you come past the stage end, the road limits are 90 kilometres an hour. And they put these temporary speed limits in. Rightly so. So I slowed down for the stage end. And then I passed what the temporary speed limit was there for. I'd passed the stage end, I'd passed the marshals, so I started to speed up again towards 90.
And you got done?
I never got done. I just used my natural charm and Scottishness, but I did get
Did they stop you?
Past
the
police car, and he came the other way, and then he turned around, oh no, and then he followed me for a bit, and then he pulled me over, put the lights on. You have that horrible feeling in your stomach.
Yeah.
And they got out, and these were two of the biggest policemen you have ever seen in your life.
Wow.
Sir, can I see your documents? Yes. Which documents? driver's license. Yes, it's my driver's license. And then we started chatting, and they were very, very pleasant. They breath tested me. They wanted to make sure I hadn't been drinking. I said, I haven't had a drink for 2.5 years. That went down well.
You're such a liar.
A proper drink, David. Proper
drink. My God.
But we just chatted away, and I said, look, I am so, so sorry. I thought I'd passed And he said, look, you drive from board to board at 50.
Exactly.
I said, what speed was I doing, officer?
Yeah, 180.
87.
Seriously?
87. And you know, I was feeling it. I put my hands up and I said...
So you were within the 90?
Within the 90. Yeah, and I was speeding up to the 90. But it was, you know, it was for me, it was a lesson. It was a lesson.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, look, board to board when you have temper. I said, I won't forget this lesson. Thank you, Mr. Officer. So anyway, I put my hands up to it. I feel better now for unburdening myself.
So you
didn't get
bring...
any, by the way, and they did just say, if we see you again, you know, you will be getting a ticket.
And you'll be in jail.
I'm here.
So you're bringing the good name of Dirtfish into
this. No, it was a lesson. Dirtfish is all about learning, isn't it? And I've learned today.
We are a school of speed.
We're a school of driving, a school of learning. And I learned a fair bit from that. But yes, we have seen, back to your point, a few minutes ago.
We've
seen
more
of the drivers.
Yeah, we have. And it's given us that opportunity to see plenty of Calais. And, you know, we've seen just how relaxed he has been.
I love that, by the way. You see that? Do you maybe hear that trundling past us? We talked about design earlier. That's a great design.
That guy's got
six huge cases. And because of the way it's designed,
they're on top of each other and rolling along.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's jackknifing now, though. It's going to go through the wall.
He's got, look at that. The tail end's coming out. Oh, look. Is he going to get it back in again?
He looks quite relaxed.
There we go.
So we've seen a lot of Calais, and he has been unbelievably relaxed, joking, laughing, talking about complete nonsense with us at times, and just really good fun.
Do you know what he showed us this morning? So we stopped this morning between the first stage and the second stage.
Yeah.
So we saw them at the start of the first stage. We then went round towards the start of the second stage, and beautiful countryside. And you know, just hard to believe. You're parked up, and it's beautifully rural and quiet. You've seen very little traffic on the road, and you know, a kilometre and a half in that direction, there's 100,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very surreal experience. But they parked up in what was a wood yard, but it was also a trials bike centre.
Oh, really?
So they had all these, you know, the big concrete blocks and all the rest. So I was just chatting with the Cali and said, have you ever done trials biking? And his face lit up. And he went, yeah, I'll show you something. He said, I don't do it anymore. I said, you don't do it anymore because Toyota don't let you. And he didn't say anything to that. He said, I'm going to show you this video. And it wasn't a trials bike he had, it's a stunt bike.
Oh.
You wanted to see what he could do on this stunt
really?
Bike. He was doing a little bouncing on the back wheel and then onto the front wheel and really? Spinning around on the front. This was a proper, you know, trials bikes are those things without seats there.
Yeah.
And light.
Yeah.
This was a proper, big, chunky, motorbike type thing.
Dougie Lampkin.
But Dougie Lampkin is the trials type bikes.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're like skeleton bikes almost, aren't they? Really. But it was big chunky wheels.
Yeah.
But what he was doing on it was like, whoa.
It sounds a lot like me on my mountain bike.
I looked at it and went, that reminds me of David Evans. But that's how relaxed he was.
No,
he was
totally. You know, and you got to say, wherever we were, he's kind of been like it all year. In Sardinia, you know, we talked about him teaching us to drift in Finland. And that's we forgot to mention that to him. And he said, come to Finland early, we'll go drifting.
Drifting is
the whole concept of you drifting, it's terrifying.
I'd be drifting into the Armco, drifting into the concrete barriers.
As you did, into that, when we were here for the first time in 2020.
Remember
what happened in that cross cart challenge,
it was quite entertaining watching. I was consistently quicker than you, David Evans, consistently quicker. I was quicker than you in practice.
Yeah, but then I was finding the limit, and then when it came to the race, I blew you away.
When it came to the
and
race,
you went underneath
the
barrier.
I had a moment with my vision, where my visor got covered in mud, and I panicked.
Really?
And by the time I actually managed to lift the visor up, there was an arm in front of me, and I was underneath it.
It was very entertaining, and he really should go back and watch that one again.
Robin Perry was great.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What about the Ireland national, David? Let's spend a little bit of time talking about them, because an enormously positive and encouraging weekend for them. But you, if you compare it to their efforts here last year, chalk and cheese.
Totally. Totally. Should we be surprised by the team that has its test base in central Finland and doing well on a fast gravel rally? Two Finnish drivers. No, yeah. I think credit where it's due. They've clearly, it's an ongoing process and they've done a good job.
But David Evans, but should we be surprised? They were shocking last time out in Africa. Maybe the worst rally we've seen from them. And that's saying something, because they've had some bad rallies.
They certainly have.
But what was it, 4 prop shaft failures, a driver being excluded? They were shocking.
Yeah, and presumably, I mean, we didn't actually get to the bottom of that prop shaft thing, did we? Must have been a bad batch, do we think? Because there's no hint of anything, and they haven't changed anything on the car. Lappy
hasn't changed his driving style.
No, and that kind of thing, you know, it needs a joker to change it. They are dismantling the whole...
The media centre's coming down.
Rally HQ
coming
around
down
us. So if you can hear a bit of clanging, don't
Sorry
worry.
About that.
But no, they've done a good job. You know, for me, we can praise Teemu, we can praise EP for what he did, but, you know, Thierry was the one that really did surprise. We saw him at Goodwood last weekend, talked to him about, you know, what is it with fast rallies? And he said it's confidence. You know, it's the knowledge that when you turn in, the car's going to work, and he hasn't had that. And here, he clearly did.
This is the point I made to EP. EP said that, he's had 3 days where the car's done exactly what he wanted it to do.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that's remarkable when we're talking about the Hyundai, because really since January last year, since Monte Carlo, that's been the problem. You know, consistency. Mm. You know, and as you say, to push hard on these stages, you've got to rely on it doing what you expect it to do.
Yeah.
And too often, it's had these moments where it's done something completely unexpected.
Yeah.
And so for EP to be able to come out and say that, he said as a driver, that's the first time in any car. He's had a car that's done exactly what he wanted it to do for 3 days.
Encouraging. It is tremendously encouraging. Yeah, equally, is it easier to set up a car for here? I don't know. Mm. You know, there's not so many complicated variables. It's quick. Okay, the second run, Friday, it dug out a lot more than it did.
Just, I suppose the big variable was the ruts, you know, making a car that was capable of, dealing with those ruts. You know, in places it was hard and fast, and then on the second pass in particular, it was very, very rutted. So I think they did a great job. I think they did a fantastic job, and we're seeing real progress there. And that's without the ultimate contribution of their new technical director, FX de Maison. When he gets his teeth into the project and we start to see him stamping his mark on the car, we asked Cyril last night, didn't we? We said, look, FX has had nearly a month now to have a look at the car. What are the main areas? What does he really want to do with it? And he said he wants a new car. He wants a totally new car.
Yeah.
But
that is, that's the nature of a technical director. You know, if it had been the other way around and FX had designed it and Loreo had come in, Loreo would have said, I want a new car, because they go about things and it's almost a sort of personal and professional pride thing, isn't it? They feel that when you're at that level, you can always do it better than anybody else.
Absolutely. But, it gives them real hope for the next rally. It gives them hope for the rest of the year. In terms of the Manufacturers' Championship, yes, there's a little bit of work to do, but they're by no means out of that. I think the Drivers' Championship now, we're very close to, I think it's 55 points, the gap, very close to 2 full rallies.
Well, we are past, forgetting power stage points.
Forgetting power stage points, we are past that.
Yeah.
But the manufacturers is still an achievable goal for Hyundai this year. And it's going the right way. There's no need to press any panic buttons. You know, the buttons they're pressing are the right buttons just now.
Yeah, absolutely. But I would take you back. Let's not kind of get out of control here.
It's like that.
Kenya, you've just said it all.
Sardinia, they're up there with 2
Kenya,
on the podium.
They're on the floor.
Kenya on the floor. It's a roller coaster.
Back to the place where they've done all the testing, back up. Let's actually look back and reflect at the end of the year. Particularly when we've seen some running in CER on the tarmac and stuff. It is difficult because we talked about it in the video review, which you can see on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that, Calle Rovanperä is, he's the absolute Son of God, he's the Messiah, he can walk on water, he is unbelievable, all that blah, blah, blah.
Did you see him walking on water last night?
I certainly did.
It was phenomenal.
And yet, at the start of the year, he'd lost it. He hadn't won since New Zealand.
Who suggested that?
Oh, come on.
No. Who in the right mind suggested that?
Who in the right mind,
I never suggested he lost it. Not for one second.
I've got video evidence.
No, you do not. I would never have said he's lost it.
You saying Kelly is yesterday's man. He's done. He's finished.
Such a liar. You're such a liar.
But it's true, though. You know, we've got to look debate. At these things with context and in the bigger picture.
What they need a kind of your bullet train, which is fast and consistent and level, rather than the big one, Big Dipper, that just keeps going up and down and gives you highs and lows. Yeah. And they have to cut that out because you can't have, we're going to go to Finland and they're going to be decent in Finland and they might win Finland. Yeah. We then go to Greece. Mm-hmm. And do we start asking questions again when we start seeing things breaking on the car?
Exactly. You know,
but they can't afford that. That has to be absolutely cut out.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah,
This is the issue. Let's see. You know, let's see how they progress.
Now, so we've talked Toyota. We talked Toyota. Evans. Toyota. We need to talk Evans, and we need to talk Katsutasan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit Evans then. He found a wee bit of pace at times today on the final day. He said it himself when I spoke to him at the end of the event. Looking back, it's disappointing, particularly in relation to where he was here last year. He's still searching. He hasn't found the ultimate feeling in this car yet.
He hasn't. You can see that because, you know, there's times we spoke to him on Saturday and said, when are you going to send it? When are you going to actually really, truly engage in this fight? And he said, you know, that you've got to be careful. It's a knife edge. And if you do, you know, then are you going to actually go too deep into junctions, you're going to lose time there. That's not a driver that is complete. You know, you weren't getting any of those responses from Kalle Rovanperä. He was 100% completely confident in what he was doing, and he just got on with it. And I think there's an element of Elvin that, in his own words, he is a very, very fussy driver. He needs the car in that window. And at the minute, we know that the window of operation with this car, it's not as wide because they don't have the variables with the centre diff. You know, they have to. And we saw Elvin changing the front diff, front or rear diff, I can't remember.
One of the diffs, on Friday lunchtime. Wow.
Which is, you know, that's really early. When you've tested and tested and tested, you start the rally with the optimal setup, and you know in the back of your, in your head, this is it, this is my car, you know, my knife is sharp here. And then you get in and you find actually the knife's a little bit blunt. Mm. And you're thinking, then you're questioning yourself. And you're questioning, you know, what have I done in the test? Why am I here? Okay, you can then set aside all of those concerns, and confident drivers will say, the test was different roads, it was it was wet, it was this. But I don't think Elvin's like that. So I think these things do play on his mind a little bit.
They do.
And so from the very beginning, he was on the back foot because he'd had his optimal setup questioned and it had failed. And he then had to go to option two. Yeah. Which was never going to be so
he's going through a process, Elvin Evans, and he's going through a process of discovery in terms of this new Rally One car, but also a transformative sort of process where he's having, unfortunately, to look at his driving style. And we know he drives intuitively, and that's how the very best in the world do it. They don't actually think. I remember talking to Peter Solberg about Oliver. Remember when we went up that time to make that video in Sweetland? Was 4 years ago now, three, 4 years ago, and I talked to Petter about, you know, what advice are you giving to Oliver about driving? And he looked at me as if I was mad. He said, I'm not giving him any driving advice. Yeah. He said, he drives the way he drives. I can give him lots of other advice about, you know, how to manage his rallies, how to manage his recces, how to get the best out of his notes, but he drives the way he drives, and I won't tell him ever how to drive.
Yeah.
So drivers at that level are very intuitive, but what Elvin is having to do is adapt, even if it's marginally, his driving style, and that, when you're doing things which they're not counterintuitive, but they're not entirely intuitive, you know, they don't come as easily as perhaps, you know, the old driving style did. That's a process that takes time. Mm. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't make those changes and adaptations overnight. And I think Elvin is right now in the middle of that process. And I'm hoping it comes good. I mean, there's no guarantee it will, but I think knowing Elvin Evans the way we know him,
he'll work at it.
He'll work at it. Tirelessly.
There's nobody worked harder in this championship than Elvin Evans. You know, he puts his heart and soul into it, and he's one of the best drivers in the world. He will figure it out.
The team
are committed to him now. It is difficult for the team because on one hand you've got a driver who's sort of saying, I'm struggling a bit with the car, so they question the car. And then on the other hand, they've got this guy. But you know, Calais' driving style is more aggressive, it's more sideways. He steers with the rear of the car way more than Elvin does. It works with that car. You know, I remember years ago, you'd have Freddie Loix in the whole range of Mitsubishi Lancers struggling like hell with the way that the transmission system worked. I can't remember what it was, the Sprag clutch or whatever.
And it worked when the
car was on boost, it was giving you four-wheel drive. When it came off boost, it was into front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive. I can't remember which. Very, very, very odd transmission setup.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to people and saying, it doesn't work. You know, how can that work? And they would point me in the direction of four world championships for Tommy Mäkinen and say, you know, why would they change that car?
Yeah.
Freddie Loix is, you know, he's not winning, he's not doing anything. Obviously Bernsey drove brilliantly and could cope with it. Grönholm had a bit of a go with it, but it was only Tommy that could do
it. Mastered it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting in any way that the Toyota is in any way kind of out there like that was.
No.
But there are nuances to these cars that the team would have to question. Okay, do we change that? Well, if we change that, that's gonna detract from what Calais wants to do with that aspect of the car. Yeah, it will give a bit to Elvin, but you're going to be a brave team to take away from your winning driver and give to the guy who's...
And that's exactly why we're hearing Elvin saying he has to change his driving
style.
He has to go to the car rather than the car coming to him.
That's the problem. You know? And you said it at the top there, Cole, that it's not instinctive.
Nope.
And, you know, when you are... I've said this 100 times this weekend. When you're turning into these corners at 160 mile an hour, you are on your wits.
Yeah.
It's all instinctive. Yeah. If you second guess yourself 1 second, you're in the trees.
You're in the trees. You're out. Yep, you're absolutely out. And Elvin is not the sort of driver who will take it above that limit and end up in the trees.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Takamoto San, another one, who really is struggling. You know, you look back to...
I can't believe what you told me at the end.
What?
That how... You know, he was quite upset. I'm ashamed that you didn't give him a cuddle.
No, I wanted to.
You should have given him a cuddle.
No, but David.
I would have given him a cuddle.
Jackson,
I'll give you a cuddle in Finland.
Cultural kind of things. I didn't know whether that was the done thing to do in the Japanese.
Of course it is.
Is
it's
it?
Taka.
I know it's Taka, but you know, sometimes I didn't know. I just wanted to really wrap my arms around him and say.
You should have done.
You know, but what I did say, I gave him a few words of encouragement, as did Elliot, our cameraman.
Yeah.
He said, we believe in you, Taka.
Oh my God,
difference.
Yeah, that's it. He must go home feeling so much better.
Oh, Elliot. It was a lovely thing for him to say, David. He was genuine. Oh, David. Anyway, Taka-san is it too much to say he's struggling and he is suffering a crisis of confidence?
Yes.
Is that too much to say?
No,
it's
exactly what he is right
is it
now.
Is it a crisis of confidence?
He needs to get back to what he's doing. You know, he just needs to remember that he is a brilliant, brilliant driver. He is there, he is in this position in the championship on merit.
Yeah.
3 or 4 years ago, he was there because he was a Japanese driver that was showing great promise with a Japanese manufacturer. No, now he's a podium threat. When he's on the money and on his metal, he can do it. Yeah. But now he is, we go back to that thing, he's turning into corners, questioning, am I done this right? Have a break too late, have a break too early? Well, forget it, Taka, just do what you do.
No, I think it is exactly the same situation as Elvin. I think he is having to adapt as well to come to the car.
Towards the end of last year, we saw great speed from him.
We have seen great speed in the past from him.
Yes, it was good speed and it was a genuine progression. Yeah. And I think there's been a few bumps in the road in recently. Obviously, Safari was pretty miserable for him and then a testing crash here.
Yeah.
It's difficult and to get in the car and drive on the back of that. It is tough, but he needs to know that, yeah, it's tricky because there's been, there is speculation. Of course there is with all of these drivers about the future. But from what we heard today, his future is safe.
Yeah.
He needs to get in there and he just needs to drive the car. And it's way, way easier to say than do. We're going somewhere that he likes, somewhere that he's good, Finland. He lives there. It's his second home rally. He loves the place. Just relax. Try to take the pressure off yourself.
Right.
You know, we saw him last year. We drove his recce car around for days before.
It was
huge. And if you haven't seen that, then go and check out Carpool Rallyoki, which was brilliant fun last year. And we saw a genuinely relaxed Tacker who could get in. I can't remember where he finished. In Finland last year.
Nor do I.
That's the guy, you know, and you could see from minute one here, he was on eggshells. When he had the issues with the car, yesterday afternoon, when we were at the regroup, he just looked like a driver that was just under so much pressure.
At times it looked like panic, but you know, it wasn't. And he's got Aaron Johnson next to him who's as calm as you like.
Yeah, 100%.
But no, I think Tacker-san, you know, Tacker-san came into rallying and then ultimately the World Rally Championship with the backing of Akio Toyoda. Toyoda came up with a scheme to bring a Japanese driver to the World Rally Championship to win rallies. And the best of those drivers was without any doubt Takamoto Katsuta. And, you know, Akio Toyoda has moved on and we've got now President Sato in charge. And it was interesting because you spoke to President Sato today, David. He's given his backing 100% to Takamoto, saying, no, you know, we are a Japanese manufacturer, we will have a Japanese driver.
But
he is the best choice. That's got to help him.
Of course it has. But ultimately, it won't, though, because he's still staring down the barrel of whatever finished today. And just the fact that, you know, he didn't do this and he did do this and on all of that. But, you know, for me now, we need to get past the he's a Japanese driver thing. He's a driver.
He's absolutely a
world championship
driver.
Right. And he's there because he should be there.
Absolutely. And, you know, a man who scored, what is it now, 3 podiums, I think he's had in the
Something
championship,
like that.
Was remarkably consistent for a while and building for a while. He's not lost it. It's just a matter of getting there. Final word for, we've talked a fair bit about M Sport at the start and Oit Tanak. Final word for Pierre-Louis Levet, because he, again, deserves, I think, high praise. Great time in the power stage when a lot of drivers were pushing hard.
Yeah.
Consistency, no huge moments, no dramas. I don't remember the last rally. He's finished a couple recently without big problems, but there's always been a little drama, some sort of drama along the way.
No progress. And he's, you know, he's taking all the right steps. He's making all the right moves, and it's coming, isn't it? Mm. You know, we've said this for much of the year. When the cars are working, when the car works and he works, it's good. And we're getting more and more speed from him. So
I like Pierre-Louis Levet as well. He's one of the most polite drivers out there. There's some drivers that, as you said, David, we spent a lot of time chasing them around this weekend.
Who's the impolite one then? Come on.
I don't like to tell tales.
Then don't.
But what I'll tell you, is there are some drivers out there who could not be more welcoming and understanding of what we're trying to do. And all we're trying to do is to tell the world how great they all are.
Yeah.
And that's what we love doing. And that's the great thing about it.
Not necessarily, but just report fairly on them.
Exactly right.
Fair and accurate reporting.
And someone like Pierre-Louis Levet is always open. Always open, always willing.
Who's always closing? Come on, you've opened that
I've told you, I'm not telling tales. Thierry Neuville, the best driver out there for being open and honest and giving
100%.
His time. The best. Anyway, that's another story that we'll save for another day, David Evans. Now, not long to wait until Rally Finland, but in the meantime, there's something happening on at Dirtfish Central that I'm sure our Rally fans might well be interested in hearing about.
Rallycross Fest next weekend. It is absolutely worth taking a peek. We will have Dirtfish Live Centre up and running with the great Jack Harrison, Nate Tennis, Josie Rimmer, all of them. They'll all be taking a turn at the wheel. It's great. Rallycross in America is a little bit different. It's kind of a single venue rally over there at Dirtfish in the beautiful 350 acres just outside Seattle. It's a great event. It's a hugely well-supported event. It's about the grassroots. It's a kind of bring your car. It was sold out weeks ago. it's not a high-end motorsport thing. It's just about club motorsport having a great, great event. But it shows, it demonstrates what Dirtfish is about. Yeah. You know, here we are reporting on an incredible win from Kelly Rovanperä at the absolute pinnacle of the sport, world champion. And then we go in 2 weeks to Finland for more of the best rallying in the whole wide world. And in between times, we're reporting on Rallycross Fest. You know, we cover every aspect of the sport. Absolutely. It's all, as you know, we take people from their first time in a rally car. We take them from there, we teach them.
And that's where Rallycross Fest is fantastic, because what you'll find is that quite a number of the people who are competing actually had their first experience in a rally car at Dirtfish Rally School.
100%.
You know, it really is a wonderful...
So tune into that.
Yeah, tune into that. It'll be great. I'm certainly looking forward to that next weekend. So, folks, there we go. If you have any questions on all that you have just heard from David, particularly what you've heard from David, leave them in the comment section below.
But don't make them too difficult.
No, don't make them too difficult, because he's
quite
a bit grumpy. He's quite tired. But do leave them in the comment section below on the website, or, you know, via Twitter if you want, you know, no problems, or any of our social channels. Let us know what you think, any questions you might have. Send them in. We're always really, really delighted to see them, and David's always delighted to answer them. Isn't that right, David?
100%, 100%. If I can.
So listen, folks, it's been wonderful talking to you, as always. Don't forget Dirtfish Live Centre, as David mentioned, from Rallycross Fest at Snoqualmie, the Dirtfish Rally School there next weekend. If you've missed anything at all, if you want to, you know, maybe come along with us for a little adventure here at Rally Estonia. Go back and have a look at the Dirtfish Live Centre.
Join the journey.
Yeah, join our journey and make sure that you, you know, you sample the atmosphere, you see all the action, the drama, some great pictures, great videos, some wonderful audio updates from the stages.
Jack, you were with Jack, of course, in New England Forest Rally last Sunday.
I was in New England.
In New England, yeah. And Jack came up with the perfect tagline, which we're going to run through Dirtfish Life Centre. There's more to the rally than the race,
and we're all about everything that is in this race. That is so true, folks. Go away and think about that one, and we'll join you again next week for another edition of Spin the Rally Pod.